Well, it's good to be together this evening. And again, I feel bad John can't speak, so I wish he could have been here. And just circumstances arose, he was not able to. And as I was sharing with Mrs. Hunley that we had a change in plan, she said, we ought to share a little bit about your ministry and the things that you have going on. And like a lot of folks, things with the virus has kind of changed things and slowed things down. I've been a while, haven't really even tried much getting to the Capitol. We've been doing some Zoom studies with some folks and folks at the DEP and such. But I would ask you to be in prayer for our ministry. Of course, Capitol Commission is geared to reach leaders around the country. And we have guys in about 26 states, and different states are facing different challenges with all that's been going on. But tomorrow we begin, in the fall, we always have a gathering of all of our leaders from around the country and our home office folks. And so tomorrow we're beginning a virtual gathering. And so we'll be gathering together over Zoom or Google or something, looking at a computer at each other for a little while. But a chance to fellowship and train. And if you are interested, Tuesday evening, the 1st, Sam Brownback, if I remember correctly, I think he was the former governor of Kansas, but he is now the ambassador, at-large ambassador for international religious freedom. And so he speaks very strongly about the need for religious liberty, obviously in our country, but also around the world. And so there will be like a roundtable discussion on Tuesday evening. And so I would just encourage you, if you are interested, you can join that. You can find it through our website, capitalcom.org. If you're on our email list, you received an email that has the link and all that information. But I think you'll find that just interesting. And again, we do live in challenging days, and we'll get into it a little bit in our message. But we do believe that the answer is the gospel, both for our leaders and for our citizens. And so we do want to provide that that opportunity for you if you're interested. And do be in prayer for us for Capitol Commission, both here in West Virginia and around the country. So had a very busy afternoon. Our neighbors ended up unexpectedly having about a bushel and a half of green beans. And she had never canned, and we do a good bit of canning, so she said, I've got some green beans. She came over yesterday to get started. I've got some green beans, and so she walked in with this basket, literally the basket's about that tall and just locked about that far from the top. So some green beans, and so anyway, we kind of messed up yesterday and had some problems. She came back over, and so 21 quarts in one afternoon. And I was looking for my notes. I had printed them out and I could not find them. And she said, why don't you just preach on something about canning? And I thought, well, I've never done that. And so anyway, the Lord hasn't led me to change the message, but I thought about Wednesday evening's message as she said that. If you were here Wednesday evening, we talked about affliction and challenges and trials. Let me change my picture here. How many of y'all have ever done pressure canning? You kind of know what the process is like. But if you're here Wednesday evening, we talked about affliction, and we talked about an amazing verse in Psalm 119. And listen to this. If you were here Wednesday night, you'll remember this. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That's an amazing verse that David or whoever, the writer of Psalm 119, would say, it's good for me that I was afflicted. So as I thought about her little statement, you ought to preach on pressure canners. We're not going to do that, but it is an illustration, I think. You know, what's a pressure canner all about? Well, it's in the name, pressure and heat. All right. And so as I thought about that verse, it's good for me that I was afflicted. What is affliction? It's pressure. It's heat. Things come into our lives to to challenge us, and it's difficult, but God says it's good. It brings about good things. Consider it all joy, brethren, when what? You fall into various trials. All right, why? Because the trying of your faith brings about what? The perseverance, patience. King James says patience. That means perseverance or endurance. So when you pressure can, what happens? You add heat. You add pressure. Well, actually, what you add the pressure, and what the pressure does is add the heat. But then what happens? What comes out of that pressure canner? It's something that's going to last. It's going to persevere. All right. Matter of fact, it'll pretty much last indefinitely. May not be real good 3 years down the road. Actually, we were having a little discussion with some other folks that did canning and said, yeah, we tried some soup that was 7 years old. Well, I don't know about that, but it will last. All right. You think about what God does in our lives. He adds heat. He adds pressure through affliction and trials, and it does bring about a good thing there. So that's for free, okay? That's two for the price of one this evening. So anyway, I can tell my friend, yeah, I kind of sort of shared about pressure canning, but that's a pretty vivid illustration. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles again this evening and look at Paul's letter to Philemon, one who many think is his wife, Apphia, and Archippus, many think his son. And we shared this morning, hopefully if you were here this morning, you've got the background, Onesimus, a slave of Philemon who probably stole some goods, stole some money, ran away. God, through his providence, brought Onesimus into contact with Paul, and Paul was able to lead him to the Lord. Now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon along with this letter. And as we shared some this morning, there's some very good reasons for studying this letter. But I'd like us to go ahead and read it again this evening. Not too many passages we have this opportunity to do. So I would like to go ahead and read it this evening. And we looked for some of the lessons that we could gain from this. And I've just really been encouraged by those gospel lessons that we got out of Philemon that we talked about this morning. But let's go ahead and read this. Follow with me closely. And it's just a blessing to read this short book of the Bible, this short letter, to be able to see the whole thing, the whole context, helpful as we consider it and study it. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps Onesimus departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother. especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers, I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I would just like for us to think about this evening. The question that we asked this morning is, in light of all that is going on around us in our community, in our state, in our nation, can we as a church, Spring Hill Baptist Church, make a difference? Can we make an impact? And then even more personally, can you and I, as individuals or as families, make a difference? And I would just like us to consider how these early believers made a huge impact in their communities, in their nation. It was talked about the believers in Jerusalem when the leaders were talking about what to do with them, said, these guys have turned the world upside down. And so we have to ask ourselves today, can we as a church, can we as believers turn the world upside down, make a difference, change things? And I believe we can. The early believers did so. There's been times in history where we've seen great workings of God through believers and through the church. And I would just like us to consider from this little letter with a lot of meaning how these early believers made a difference and then how we might do so today as well. So the first thing I think that we see how these believers made a difference in their day and how we can make a difference in our day is to see how they boldly proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we see that in the Apostle Paul and in his ministry. He boldly preached the gospel and started up a church in Ephesus that was on his third missionary journey. If you'd like to make some notes and put a little more time studying this, you can kind of put together how the church in Ephesus was started. If you remember, it appears that Paul did not directly visit Colossae, where the letter of Colossians to the church that was written there, but we believe that quite likely believers maybe traveling back and forth or believers from Ephesus had the opportunity to share the gospel and see a church started in Colossae. All right. So it's likely that travelers from Colossae, about 120 miles from Ephesus, heard the gospel there and then shared the good news as they went back home. And so enough people came to know Christ, repented and trusted in him that a church was established there. Paul ended up in prison, but what did he do? He continued to boldly share the gospel. And as he's sharing the gospel while he's in prison, that is how Onesimus came to know Christ and to follow him. So we can see, even in this little letter, how the bold proclamation and sharing of the gospel spread, made an impact, and made a difference. So as the gospel spread and changed hearts and lives, it began to make a difference in issues such as slavery in the Roman Empire. So if we want to make a difference here in West Virginia, here in South Charleston, and in our country, we need to follow their example and seek and find ways to boldly proclaim the good news of the gospel. That's something we can really be praying for. We've had some wonderful opportunities with the Good News Club at Bridgeview at Bridgeview Elementary. What an opportunity to boldly proclaim the gospel to the folks in our community. But we need to be praying, because if I understand, we're not able to have Good News Clubs. Is it for the whole, have they said for the whole year, or? All right, what's that? Okay, everything, we'll do it on Zoom. Kids probably kind of enjoy that kind of thing. I don't know, probably might be tired of it. But hey, that's something to pray for. Here we've had this opportunity for a group of folks from our church and from some other churches to get together and boldly share Jesus with kids from our neighborhood. Now, that's kind of put on hold and kind of changed, but God's going to give us opportunities and open doors. So let us think about how these early believers, Paul, but not just Paul, Philemon, we think it's Philemon, Archippus was my fellow soldier. He referred to Philemon as my partner in the ministry. Hey, if you're really my partner, you're going to do and take care of Onesimus there. But he's his partner in ministry. And so these folks boldly proclaimed the good news of the gospel. So what's going to make a difference? Tommy's really been on my heart today as we think about that. There in Portland, you have these riots and fires and all going on, and you look at that and say, what is going to make a difference? And it is the bold proclamation of the gospel. All right. So boldly proclaim the gospel is how these people, these early believers in Colossae made a difference, and that's how we can make a difference as well. The second thing that we see, I think, presented in both Philemon, and then you kind of have to take the whole of where the church was, Colossae, the letter of Colossians, is this. They consistently taught the Word of God, taught the Scriptures. We know that Paul consistently taught the Word of God as he appointed and trained leaders for the churches that he started. And he encouraged those leaders to do the same. So we don't see a lot of in-depth teaching specifically in this letter, although as we tried to dig in just a little bit this morning, what awesome illustrations of the gospel. But if you think about the letter to the church at Colossians, now remember, the letters to the church at Ephesus, the letter to the church at Colossae, and this letter of Philemon were shipped out together, all right? And so we would, in a sense, consider now, what was the letter of Colossians all about? And it is an amazing letter. So even though we don't see a lot of great depth of teaching in Philemon, we do see that in his letter to the church at Colossae. So as people began to understand the Scriptures, understand the gospel, as they began to understand the gospel and its implication for their lives, then things began to change in how they lived, how they thought about God, regarding their attitudes and issues towards, regarding the attitudes and actions about issues such as slavery and those things. And so again, we should be, we must follow their example in individually seeking to read and study and understand God's word. As a church, make sure that we're boldly preaching the gospel, which we do. And we need to have a firm commitment to the inspiration, the authority of Scripture. And then we need to find ways to effectively share what the Scriptures have to say about all these different issues that we're facing in our lives. So we think about our 100-year anniversary. Now, that is an amazing thing to happen for a church, to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to the Scriptures for 100 years. And yeah, we ought to stop, and it was shared in our special service, honoring that, but we ask ourselves the question, how does that take place for a church to be faithful to the Scriptures for 100 years? And it is because there are leaders who are committed to the teaching of the Scriptures. There's an awful lot of churches that at one time were faithful that are no longer faithful. We talked about John Newton this morning, preached at the church at Olney, England. Now, it was an Anglican church, but you had some different streams of Anglicans at that time, and he was one of what we would consider an evangelical Anglican who preached the gospel. But if you, I did this a while back, went to the church's website, in no way, shape, or form faithful to the gospel or to the preaching of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the pulpit, they have a picture of it, the pulpit from which John Newton preached is stuck down in a corner way down. Now, those old, that's not necessarily bad. Those, if you've ever seen those old pulpits, pretty high thing, you had to climb up the stairs and all, probably not real, maybe practical for these days, but if you go to that church's website in Olney, England, it's not faithful to the scriptures at all. And so we look for what a blessing it is that our church for 100 years has been faithful to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. But then something we ought to ask ourselves, how can we make sure that this church is going to be faithful for the next 100 years? I don't know if you know the history of many of our higher education institutions, what we call the Ivy League. Yale, Princeton, those schools started out as schools to train pastors. And now they're as far from Christian teaching and Christian truth as you could get. So how did these folks make a difference? They consistently taught the Word of God. All right. Let's just look at a little bit of example. Take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. In Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, he does what he often does and starts out the letter with great gospel truths and gospel teaching, doctrine, theology, and lays out that. Then the second part of his letter will be practical. This, because these things are true that I've just shared, now this is the way you ought to live. And so if you look at the chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Colossians, it's just a grand presentation of the supremacy and the glory of Christ and who he is and what he did for us. And so he lays out some great gospel teaching. Then he gets to Colossians chapter 3 and makes it practical. So let's just read. Oh, we'll read a few verses here. Let's start in verse 1, chapter 3, and we'll read all the way through verse 11. All right. If ye then be risen with Christ. Okay, so there was some doctrine, some gospel teaching that went before that says, when we repent and put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are risen with him. And so he says, now, if that's true, if then you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you will also appear with him in glory. Mortify or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil. There's a good King James word. Somebody help me say it. Concupiscence. Is that how you say it? Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now we're going to read verse 11, and I want you to think of that issue that we find in Philemon, that of slavery. All right. And then I want us to think of the issues that our country is facing, of racial divide and those things. But listen to verse 11, an application of the truth that Paul's been teaching. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So just what I want us to see is how Paul and these early churches consistently taught the scriptures, taught the word of God, taught gospel truth. And then, in practical application of that, the third thing I want us to consider is really how these folks made a difference is, number three, they faithfully lived out the truths of the gospel. So the letter to Philemon is Paul's challenge to both Onesimus and Philemon to faithfully live out the implications of the gospel in their daily lives. For Onesimus, the challenge was, Onesimus, you've done wrong. You most importantly, you've wronged the Lord. You've made that right with the Lord, but now you need to make things right with your master, Philemon. So you need to go back, okay? Now you got to remember, in that day, a runaway slave very well could have been punished severely, even put to death, with no thought or no questions asked. And so here Paul's saying, you need to go back and make things right. Now, I'm going to send a letter. I'm going to take care of things, but you need to go back. So there's a pretty bold challenge to Onesimus. But then there's also a challenge to Philemon. Philemon, I'm not going to order you to, although I could. All right. I'm not going to command you, although you are my son in the faith. All right. I want you to show your love and show your forgiveness by accepting Onesimus into your home, not as a slave, but as a brother. And so that was the bold challenge. So for Onesimus, it meant returning to Colossae to make things right. For Philemon, it meant forgiving Onesimus and accepting him as a brother. So their practical demonstration of how the gospel had changed their lives, think of the testimony that would have been before the church and perhaps before Philemon's fellow businessmen in the community. That may have been a very unusual thing for Philemon to do, was to forgive this slave and accept him back, not as a slave, but as a brother. So we need to be willing to boldly proclaim the good news of forgiveness through Christ. And we certainly want to seek to know God's word and teach what it says to others. But we also want to make sure that we're faithfully living out the truths of the gospel and the Bible before others in the capital and in our families, in our communities. And so I just want to challenge us with that this evening. And like I said, Tommy's been on my thoughts and on my heart to think of such a place that he is going to serve, where they're trying to plant a church, kind of in the middle of all this stuff that's going on. And so let's be praying for him. Jeff, what's the name of their church? Woodstock Community Church, 25 miles from what we're seeing take place in the news there. So how can people, believers, Christians, churches make a difference in a city like Portland? Well, I believe it is to boldly proclaim the gospel, to consistently teach the gospel, teach the word of God, but then to faithfully live out the truths of the gospel. And that's true for us as well here in our communities, here where we are. So again, just some studies today from the book of Philemon. It's a little letter, but there's a lot there, isn't it? Just a great letter to spend some time in and to study. So I am just going to go ahead and we'll have our prayer time this evening. And I would just like to have you pray. If you'd like to come forward, you can, and pray up front. And Marie will play just a couple of verses. But just some specific things to pray for. To pray for our nation. Didn't really get into it that much. A lot of people are saying it's not... It all hinges and rises and falls on this next election. No, I believe it hinges, it rises and falls on the bold proclamation of the gospel, teaching the word of God, living that out. And then we do need to ask that that God would move through the Holy Spirit. It's not like, well, here's three steps. We do these things and the world's going to change. No, there's got to be a work of God, All right, a work of the Holy Spirit. We've seen moves of the Holy Spirit that's changed communities and changed our country. And so let's even pray for that this evening. I'd like us to specifically, in your seat, up front if you want, let's pray for Tommy and pray for Woodstock Community Church. Pray for Bridgeview Elementary School, where we have had tremendous opportunity to preach the gospel, teach the word of God, and live out the gospel. Those kids are challenging sometimes, aren't they? And when you've got adults there that are loving on them and caring, what an impact. So those are just some specific things we could be praying for this evening. And again, if you'd like to come up front, you can, or just pray. But I encourage you just to pray real specifically in your seat there as Marie plays a couple of verses for us.